Why not create an easier version of what you're doing now? Because that will free up your time so that you can then have time to find other things to simplify.
What's up, fabulous people, and welcome to Real Fabulous Marketing. This is the place where you'll hear stories of real fabulous people to inspire you and also get some amazing marketing strategies that will help you stand out from the crowd, particularly online. I can't wait to do this with you. Let's dive in. Hey there, it's Miranda here and welcome to another fabulous episode of Real Fabulous Marketing. Now, this week's guest has so many ideas for you, so many tips on how you can simplify your business. Because I don't know about you, but there seems to be some kind of a connection between success and busyness when it comes to running your own business. One of my biggest pet hates is when somebody asks me how business is, they simply respond for me. I don't even get a word in and they say, busy? As if being busy is the only measurement of success. Now, I don't know about you, but that is not how I define success in my business. In fact, I couldn't be more aligned with my upcoming guest, Marissa Roberts, even if I tried. So if you are someone who values free time, who values time to think, then tune on in and you may get some eye-opening ideas on what you can do in order to start taking back more of the control in your business. Let's dive in.
Owner of Beautifully Organized and host of the Simpler Business podcast, Marissa Roberts is obsessed with finding simpler and easier ways to do things. She built her first business while working 10 hours a week or less. And along the way, Marissa, since then, has collected so many ideas, hacks, and strategies to simplify processes, save time, and make work easier that I think she's even only working less than 10 hours these days. In running a business, simplifying means finding ways to lighten your workload, work to your strengths, remove your emotional barriers around visibility and pricing, and find the business model that flows best for you. I love Marissa's podcast and her never-ending Instagram reels that allows people to realize it doesn't have to be all about hustle and hard work to run a business that they love. Welcome, Marissa.
Thanks, Miranda. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you. So before we go anywhere, what exactly do you do? And what does simplifying business even mean?
Oh, okay. So the easiest way that I would explain what I do is I share simplifying tips with other entrepreneurs and business owners so that they can have more white space, more downtime, more free time. So they can just kind of get that little bit of a buffer around them where they can actually enjoy running the business, not just feel like they're slogging it out 24/7. And that's kind of me as a person too. I like puzzles. I like watching shows. I like reading. But I found when I first started diving into entrepreneurship, it's like I thought about it 24/7 because I was obsessed. But then I was working on it so much that I burnt out. Like within a couple of weeks, I was like, nope, I can't keep this up. So I think that's kind of where it all started for me to talk about simpler business was I was experiencing that wave of momentum that never seemed to end. And it sucks the joy out of what you're doing if you let it get on top of you. So yeah, I like to help people feel good and have plenty of time to do stuff they like and have more income as well as freedom.
Awesome. And I think you really like illuminated something that I think is so valid when people are running a business and either they are an entrepreneur wanting to be an entrepreneur. I'm really going to be speaking well today, clearly. And is that they like, we need that white space. We can't just be hustling and posting on social media and thinking about this and responding to emails all the time, because where is the time to become that thought leader if you're doing all the things all the time?
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of pressure that we tend to put on ourselves. And I think a lot of it comes from things like comparing ourselves to other entrepreneurs or worrying that we're not going to get to the level we need to in time or, you know, all the usual stuff that we stress out about. But what I found really interesting is when you actually kind of force yourself to slow down a bit, that's when you start to really get in tune with what you actually enjoy doing and what's the most important to you. And it's like that whole 80-20 principle, right? 20% of your actions move the needle forward most in your business. So, you know, why not just focus on those and enjoy the rest of the time for ourselves? You know, we deserve it.
We totally do. And I think there is something around that, like deserving it. I'm not there yet, or I'm so far behind, like you just said, and comparing ourselves to other people that a lot of people don't feel like they do deserve it. So what do you say to that?
Honestly, I think we should take whether or not we deserve something completely off the table. The more we think about our business and our life and anything that we do, as far as thinking, you know, does this make me feel good? Am I having a good time? Have I found a way to do it that I respond better to? Because, you know, we've all got stuff that we have to do, but there are ways to make things easier and feel better and more enjoyable. I just think if we took that viewpoint from needing to get things done and switch that over to just wanting to feel good at some point every day, it kind of smooths out the process for us. And yeah, it makes business and life a lot more enjoyable for sure.
I love that. And I did just see a reel you put out saying that you work 2 hours a day, possibly less sometimes. But what about the idea that, well, the concept, I guess, that we all know, which is if you work hard, you know, you do all the things, it'll pay off in the end. How does that like align with only working 2 hours a week, a day? Sorry, 2 hours a week would be pretty awesome.
Oh, that would be awesome. Well, you know, it's funny. I found that when I was working 8-hour days in my own businesses, because I thought that I had to, you know, I'd sit down at my desk at 9 a.m. and I wouldn't finish until 5 and I'd give myself a lunch break. That lasted a couple of weeks. I couldn't do it. It was just, it just felt like too much because I was juggling kids as well and, you know, learning as I was running the business. And there was a lot on my plate. But I found once I kind of told myself, you don't have to work full-time hours, you can still just make whatever income you make and then tweak from there in a few months and took that pressure off, I realized that when I actually cut my working day down, instead of working 8 hours and faffing around and going down Facebook rabbit holes and procrastinating, I was working, you know, a couple of hours, but it was hyper-focused because I was like, okay, I've got a time limit. How much can I do in this time? It doesn't have to be perfect because I don't have time to make it perfect. And what's funny is once I stopped trying to be perfect and I started working less and just fitting my work into the time that I had, that's when people started relating to me better online. And yeah, my sales actually went up because people found me less picture perfect and more relatable and somebody who knew what they were struggling with. So yeah, it all worked out for the best.
I like that. And essentially, you're also, say, increasing your hourly rate or increasing your return on investment in your time anyway.
Yeah.
You know, whether your sales stay the same or they increase, but you're working less, like that's got to be a payoff.
It's all a bonus.
It's all a bonus when you work for yourself. So if someone's listening to this and they're thinking, well, okay, I'd like to start simplifying my business. It sounds like something I'd want to do. I'd like to start working less. How do they get started?
Oh, easily the first thing I would do is say, grab a piece of paper and brain dump all of the stuff that you do regularly in your business, right? Just brain dump it all, get it all out of your head onto paper. You know, if you've already got all your actions written down somewhere, even better, but just so that you can see everything at a glance. And then I like to go through and just highlight, you know, the top 5 or maybe the top 8 things that I actually enjoy doing. And those are the ones that I then try and focus on. And then what I do is I look at the ones that I don't love and I think to myself, all right, How do I make that easier? Is there a way I can automate part of that? Is there a way I can delegate that super easy without having to micromanage another person? It's really about looking at that big picture, picking out the things that you'll get the most bang for your buck time-wise and effort-wise, and then finding ways to basically ditch, delegate, or automate the rest.
And so what do you love to do if you had to look at that list?
Oh, okay. So I like creating, well, you've seen my Instagram reels. They're my favorite content creation piece because they're quick, they're easy. I can batch a week's worth in half an hour. I don't have to think about any of the captions or anything I'm doing while I film the videos. I just do them later as I'm about to post them. So I basically just sit on a lounge and smile at the camera to the beat of the music for about 7 goes, 10 seconds. And then I go, I'll think about that later. And that's done. So yeah, for me, it's quick and easy content creation. And I don't like to oversaturate my business with too many offers. I think, you know, a couple of really signature offers, a couple of really good opt-ins, a couple of good things that you can get used to offering people and things that you know really well and you do really well. I think that's where most of your sales are coming from anyway. So that's what I focus on. You know, evergreen courses tied to a funnel, starting off with an Instagram reel, and yeah, pretty much sums up the whole thing.
Awesome. And so do you just do like organic content like Instagram reels? Do you do any marketing? Like how have you simplified your marketing?
I found that I follow the same kind of pattern every time. So I might start with an Instagram reel, but then I'll share another creator's reel pretty much shortly afterwards or before I do my own so that I'm working with other creators on Instagram in an organic way. I'm not opposed to ads. I love the idea of ads, but I'm terrible at keeping up with the learning. So that's next on my delegate list is Facebook ads or Instagram ads or TikTok ads. But I'm a big believer in if you've got something that's going to, I guess the easiest way to say it is I tend to find a pattern that works and then just double down on it. So for me, it's content creation, sharing other creators' work. It's having people on my podcast because I know they're going to share my work as well when they come and interview with me. It's about being a little bit strategic in the creation that I do. And then, yeah, it's all nice and easy from there.
I like that. And it sort of relates back to what you first said around simplifying to have that white space and for you to even have time to notice a pattern. I mean, so many people complain, I've got no time to do all the things. I want to do all the things. And like you said, it's like, well, how do you work best? Yeah. What would be the instigator of your content that you can then take to there and there and there and spread it around? But if you don't give yourself any time to do it because you're running around, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I think it's about giving yourself a little bit of time to focus on working on your business and in your business. So you've got to kind of do both of those. That's why passive products are a really big factor for me when I'm working with clients is I'll say to them, hey, you know, let's get a passive product up and running so that as your business is growing, you can start earning an extra income stream that way. And the first thing they say to me is, that's too hard. I don't know how to create an ebook. I don't know how to create a course. It's too much. I wouldn't even know what to put in it. And it's funny, but once we sit down and I say to them, look, when you're working one-on-one with people, what are the top 5 questions they ask you? Suddenly they can answer those like that because they're doing them over and over and over again anyway. That's what we put in the ebook. That's your 5 modules of your course, bite-sized, actionable stuff that people can do and see a result from. No one's wanting masses of information to buy online. They want step-by-step actionable things. And you're already doing that with your one-on-one clients. So why not leverage it?
I love that. And if I had my microphone, I would drop it right now. Because I think it is so true. We think things have to be a lot bigger and more complicated, don't we? Yeah. Whereas like you just said, you could just literally answer 5 common questions and turn that into a course.
Yeah, exactly. It's a great starting off point. You can tweak as you go. You can add more later. But, you know, why not create an easier version of what you're doing now? Because that will free up your time so that you can then have time to find other things to simplify.
There is that first investment of the time.
Exactly. Exactly.
You mentioned just before, it was kind of just in a side snippet where you're talking about, oh, this is how we simplify. And you mentioned that awesome word, automation. What do you mean by, oh, see if you could automate it?
Oh, okay. I'll give you a fun example. So I used to do podcast production as a service for a couple of clients. And it was very time consuming. I loved editing and producing podcasts. It wasn't something I was known for, but I enjoyed doing it. But it took a lot of time because I'd have to go back and forth with people on, okay, are you setting up your podcast? Do you have an intro, an outro, a sting? Here's how you do the raw file. Send it to me on email and I'll edit it and then I'll publish it for you and blah, blah, blah. And we'd go back and forth on exactly what they need and the price. And then I kind of wised up and realized I could automate that whole thing by having a link on my website that would go to a pricing guide. Here's your basic offer, you know, Frills podcast editing. Here's your medium sort of silver offer where I'll edit it for you and publish it on your platform. And here's your gold offer where I'll edit it for you, publish it on your platform and do your social media posts for you. You know, the three different tiers so they could pick it. And then once they chose and paid, they would just pay per episode, go to that link, book in, type in the date that they want the podcast to be published by, pay on the spot, and then upload the files to a shared Dropbox folder. So what I would do then is just come in at the start of the day, and instead of having to even talk to people, it was just sitting there waiting for me, ready to go. So yeah, they kind of automated that whole process from start to finish, and all I had to do was edit at that point.
That's awesome. I was having a very similar conversation with an artist the other day just about doing something similar, just to kind of cut out all of those toing and froing. And like you said, if you keep on saying the same questions over and over again, why wouldn't you do something like that?
Yep, absolutely.
And just a fun question on the back of that. Did you find people, like, which tier did they go for when you put it out there? Hey, I've got, instead of saying, oh, like, these are my rates for your one-off project, here's my three tiers. Did they go for the middle one?
Yeah, most people went for the middle one because it was a no-brainer jump. So the no frills got them exactly what they asked for, but then the middle one was all of the, oh, I didn't realize I should do that too. Yeah, sure, take care of it for me. But it was only a jump of, say, $75 from the first one, but they got a lot of value from it. And then the gold one, yeah, I find a few people take it, but only about 10% of customers would take that gold one, as opposed to the majority of people taking the middle offer. So yeah, I think people have a bit of a money block sort of thing going on where they don't always want to pay for the full thing, especially if they're not sure, you know, if they're new to podcasting, for example, and they're not sure how they're going to make their money back from it. It's a big stretch to go the VIP option, but that middle one, if it's only a little bit more than the basic, it's an easy jump. Yeah.
That's so good. I found even recently doing the online auction that you've been a part of, even being able to upload like an image to a Google form. Oh my goodness, that is just life changing.
I loved how you set that up. I was, as one of the people who was contributing a prize, I was going through and putting in my details and uploading my photo going, this is so good. It is so easy. I can just fit it into 5 minutes into my day instead of having to have a big meeting about it. I love the way you did that.
Oh, awesome. The only downfall was it's not super mobile friendly if you're not logged into Google at the same time. So some people are like, the form doesn't work. I'm like, it does work. Just open it on your computer.
Yeah, go on your computer.
But it was so easy. And it was just such a great example, like you said, of automating, because a few people did email me and I was like, can you just fill out the form? Because all of the questions are there. And then I could take that form and my assistant uploaded it. And another assistant like made the Canva images, and it was so simple.
Yeah. It makes such a big difference, and you've probably saved hours and hours in incidental work over that time.
Definitely. And do you think, as someone, obviously you just said you really liked the experience of my automation. Did you think that, I'm going to word this properly. Do you think that that has like a good, gives a good impression of a business if they do automate things?
I think how you automate it is the key. So a lot of the stuff that I automate has me on video at the top of the page going, hi, I'm so excited to do this with you. Let's jump in. We're going to start with this, this, and this. And so they've still got me, especially, you know, over the last 2 years, everybody's used to seeing each other on camera or on video anyway. They've got that personal factor there before they start the automation lower down on the screen. And I've found that's actually helped a lot in terms of me still building an actual connection and relationship with my customers without having to dedicate as much one-on-one time with them anymore. So yeah, everybody wins.
That's a really great little tip as well. Like maybe put a video to make your automations a bit more personalized.
Yeah, video, especially when you're talking like you normally would over the phone. Video just makes people so much more at ease straight away. It's almost like it's legitimizing your service for them.
Yes, yes. Adding that personal touch.
Yeah.
So seeing as you do love to simplify so much, and I know we did talk about marketing just before, do you still do all the marketing things? Like you, I know you're on Instagram. Are you on Facebook? Do you do email marketing? You said maybe ads in the future. Like are you on TikTok? Like what do you do?
Yeah, I'm an introvert, so I'm very bad at managing other people or working with other people or building my own team, which is a bit of a block I have to get over. But as a result, I pretty much do everything myself and automate as much as possible. And that way I also don't feel bad if I don't get stuff done. So it's not for everyone, but it works well for me. But basically I have a repurposing of content pattern that I use. And I have four foundational topics that I talk about. And each of those topics leads to a particular freebie and a particular offer. So I have the same revolving rhythm and pattern going on with every piece of content. And I have little ways that I say, create a reel for Instagram. There's a couple of hacks out there where you can download that reel without the watermark for Instagram. And then you can just pop it straight onto TikTok and Twitter and YouTube and Facebook. And yeah, so I make use of a few little hacks. I like systems and yeah, I like patterns and repeating them.
It's funny you said you're an introvert, and also you failed to answer my question in my automation when you come onto my podcast, which is what's something cool that maybe people don't know about you? And I know that you do something else other than simply talk about simplifying business. So what do you do, and how, like, is this part of why you wanted to simplify your business so much?
Oh, we're talking about my acting.
We're talking about your acting.
I forgot to mention that. It's funny. It's almost like it's an aside when I do it, because acting is so random. You just get, once you've got your photos on your agency list, you just get randomly picked for stuff. So I can go weeks without anything and then get, bam, booked for the three jobs in a row. So it's really, really interesting. And I think that's really helpful to have kind of an evergreen automated business, because I can just drop and run whenever I need to. So I do a lot of background extra acting. It's awesome because you don't have to learn any lines. I don't have to worry about, oh, do I have to kiss somebody? But yeah, I basically just show up on set and I sit in the background in cafes and I walk through the mall and I, you know, just kind of sit and chill and watch TV shows and movies and commercials get made around me. So yeah, that's really fun. I love it.
That does sound super fun. And on your website, and this kind of, I think, relates to acting, and it has to do with visibility, because obviously it's part of what you talk about, you know, being a bit more visible, showing up, maybe even God forbid, asking for a sale or directing people somewhere to make it do business with you. Why do you think women do have so many blocks around visibility?
Oh, to be honest, I think in my experience and the experience that I've had with clients, we're all worried about getting judged or made fun of. You know, when we first jump into entrepreneurship, we're taking a pretty big leap. And I personally, the story is different for everybody, but I became an entrepreneur because my career didn't fit me anymore when I became a mum and had young kids to look after. You know, I kind of was painted with the mother brush when I went back after mat leave, and I was told, oh, you don't want to do any of the travel anymore, do you? Yes, I did. But you're available to work weekends and nights. What? So lots of things going on there. So when I jumped into entrepreneurship, I just needed it to be a better fit. But because I had all of these people from my corporate career who knew me, I was super nervous when I started being visible online. I thought they'd make fun of my little business. I thought they'd judge how I looked. I thought that they would, you know, have a problem with how much I shared about my life online, because my first business is an organizing one and my kids would show up in my videos. You know, it's that sort of fear of being judged, which was what held me back at first. And being able to handle that and let that go really, I found that just came with practice and actually doing things over time and realizing that people didn't judge and laugh at me like I thought they were going to. I got the odd comment here and there. Principal at my school a few years ago found my YouTube video on how to fold a fitted sheet. That was awkward, but yeah, I mean, it hasn't been terrible. So once you get over that fear, and really most of that's mindset, it doesn't happen the way we think it's going to happen. But once you move through that, through practice, everything is so much easier.
So true. And does that YouTube video have like a bazillion hits on it?
Yeah, it's like 100,000 views now. So people laugh and it's a terrible video. It was back when I only had a super old iPad and the lighting is terrible and my hair looks weird. And I put the sheet on the floor when I folded it. So now when I look back over it, it was like 10 years ago now. I think it's really cringe, but it's a top performer that leads to sales every month, even now, of my organizing courses. So people might go, oh, that looks kind of funny, or who wants to fold fitted sheets anyway? But actually, it's a cute little moneymaker for me. So I'm happy to keep it up there.
That's awesome. And I think it's so true, just that like fear of being judged and being seen, and it's like we think the whole world's watching, and yet there's 7 billion people in the world. And even if you were kind of famous in Australia, like how many people out of that 7 billion is that really?
Exactly. Most of the people out there are too worried about their own stuff to stress too much about ours. So
yeah, my uncle's recently found me on Instagram and it's quite cute. Like he just leaves like a love heart on every post. Oh. Like, thanks, Ian.
My mum tends to go on my Facebook page and leave like sarcastic answers to my based questions. Mom. And I'm like, because she's got one of those funny sarcastic sense of humors. And I'm like, Mum, when we're at dinner, tell me then, but don't put it on the page. But yeah, it adds to the, you know, the conversation. So we'll keep it going. It's all engagement. You know, every time she leaves a comment like that, more people see my post. So I'll stick with that.
And it's also kind of part of that humanizing thing that you talked about in the first place. It's like, well, I'm not perfect. And yes, my mum leaves comments on my posts too, just like your mum does.
Exactly. It's not as bad as we think it's going to be. It actually helps in the long run because I think it kind of keeps me grounded, and it means that I don't fall into the trap of being too perfect online and not actually be who I am in real life, because I think there's a lot of pressure. And I think when blogging first started back in 2009, I had my first blog. I remember thinking I could only put the good stuff on. And then I remember thinking if I met people in real life, am I actually matching the person I appear to be on the blog? That's the sort of stuff I tend to think about. So yeah, I think the more real we are, the more imperfect we are, the more we relate to people, the less stress we feel because we're not keeping up appearances and things just flow smoothly. So yeah, be yourself, do what you love. Pretty much sums up the whole running of my business.
And I'm done because I've done the 2 hours now. So, So like you said, at the start, you said if people wanted to start simplifying their business, then write all the things down. Do you think there's any like particular steps that you took to start only working 2 hours a day? Because I'm sure a lot of people listening would be like, oh my goodness, that's just entirely impossible.
Yeah. Yep. Passive stuff really made a difference for me. So when I first started my organizing business, I'd go to other mums' houses and I'd help them organize their homes so that it was easier to run their household with young children. That was what I was known for as an organizer in the first year of my business. And within a matter of a month or two, I was super burnt out coming home and didn't even want to talk to my own kids or tidy my own house because I was too busy doing everybody else's. So once I actually went, you know what, I'm just going to take all of my tips, put them in a course. It was like just a little email course to start with and graduated to video later, but it was just me sharing my tips. And I basically put on the sales page, hey, you don't even have to have your house tidy enough for me to come and visit you. You don't have to worry if the baby's napping. You don't have to worry if the kids are hungry. You can just do these things on your own anytime you want. And you've got lifetime access to all of my tips. People started buying and that freed me up big time. And yeah, once I started scaling that, then all I have to do for my 2 hours really now is content creation and engaging and chatting with people online. So there's not that much to do anymore because I brought passive products into the business.
So good. And I think it's kind of nice to hear, because you do hear a lot about like, oh, there's no such thing as a passive income. But it sounds like you've got the programs, but you're still driving traffic there. They're not just sitting on your website hoping that someone comes along and buys them, but you're actually using, say, your social media, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, to actually get people there.
Yeah, there's always a call to action on pretty much every piece of content that leads people towards going down that little evergreen funnel that encourages them to buy. And there's lots of little tricks that we can add in there. Like if they don't want to pay for a $300 course, that's fine. But on the next screen, it'll say, do you want a $7 product? That's also a passive one. So it's about using that kind of sales psychology quite cleverly as well, so that I'm not missing out on income producing opportunities and I don't have to add extra hours to my week to re-reach the people who have said no in the first place. That eases a lot of pressure too.
Awesome. And do you use email marketing or not at all?
Absolutely. In fact, if I didn't have the need to email my database every week, I would probably be super lazy and not be consistent with my content creation, because Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, it's all fun platforms, right? I go on there and yeah, I'll post something, but then I go down a rabbit hole for half an hour and end up watching, you know, the weirdest things, and I love it. But the email marketing I've found has been my consistent driver of sales the whole time. If they see me on Instagram and they follow my call to action, they go through my email nurture sequence in order to actually buy my product. So if I didn't have that, it would be a lot harder to make the sale online. And then over time, I keep in touch with both of my databases, one for each business, just once a week. But it makes a really big difference, because people don't forget who I am. People don't forget why they're subscribed. Email marketing is a really big one for me, yeah.
Awesome. Good to hear. You know, I'm a fan of it. Came on your podcast and talked about it.
Yeah.
So
I love your tips.
Oh, well, this has been so lovely. Wait, no, I've got to ask you my favorite question. Mm-hmm. So we all know you've got heaps of time on your hands now, Marissa. What do you do for fun?
Oh, I like a lot of low-key stuff. I love jigsaw puzzles. I know I probably sound like an 80-year-old when I say that, but I love a good jigsaw puzzle. And I love to read, and I go to the movies every Thursday. So I now take Saturday, Sunday, and Thursday off. Thursday is movie day. I go and see like a 10:30 session in Gold Class, and just somebody brings me lunch and popcorn and I love it. So yeah, movies, jigsaws, the acting stuff is really fun. I love doing that. And I like to binge watch shows. I'm binge watching Hawaii Five-O at the moment, which is like a 10-year-old show, but it's awesome. And I love having hours and hours to, yeah, get lost in that as well.
I love it. And can I just ask, are we talking like 500 piece puzzle, 1,000, 3,000?
Oh, 1,000. Thousand. Always 1,000. Any more than 1,000 and I feel like I'm out of my league. Any less and I feel like, oh, it's not worth the effort.
I love like getting a jigsaw from the library, because you know you don't need to do them again after you've done them once, and putting it out. I'm like, kids, let's do a jigsaw. They get bored in about 5 minutes, but no, I'm still there, just doing the jigsaw.
Yeah, my daughter will do the edges with me, and once the border's done, she's out. She's done.
I find they're a really good like exercise in mindfulness.
Yes, it's a really good way to slow yourself down. So if you're ever feeling overwhelmed in any part of your life, it might be life, it might be business, I find doing things that force you to slow down helps immensely, definitely a good mindful practice.
Yes, and there is that wonderful saying, you've got to slow down to speed up.
Oh, yeah.
So, Marissa, if people need to come and find you, come and see these amazing reels you do, need to get their business simplified, where can they find you?
Oh, you can start on Instagram.com/MarissaRobertsOfficial, or just search Marissa Roberts Official. And if you get stuck, just head to MarissaRoberts.com. You'll see everything, links to everything will be there. Podcast is there. And yeah, I'm pretty easy to find. I'll probably randomly pop up on your Reels page, even if you're not searching for at this point.
So true. And honestly, if you're listening to this and you want to see a super awesome contact page that I do need to copy from you, Go and have a look at how Marissa has just answered everything that you may ever need from her. So she can literally just say, yeah, here it is. It's on the contact page.
That is such a good point. That was probably my first foray into automating a whole process was that page. And yeah, now that it's all set up and ready to go, that alone saves, what, 6 or 7 emails a week.
So good. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Marissa. And yeah, let's all simplify our businesses in 2022.
Hey there. I so hope you enjoyed this episode of Real Fabulous Marketing. I made it with you in mind. I was thinking about you while I recorded it. So I'd love to know what you thought of it. Come on over, find me on Instagram and send me a message. I'm at Miranda Ivy Media. And if you'd love for some practical and also quite easy ways to show up as the fabulous expert that you are, then sign up to my free 7-day expert visibility challenge. You just need to head on over to mirandaivy.com/expert. And then I'm going to send you a whole bunch of daily prompts to start sharing your fabulous self with the world. Until next time, stay fabulous.